five, four, three, two,
countdown.
One, two, three. Westside Connect, oh geez. Headed to the tip top. COVID won't stop. Welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. I am your host, Cam Jones. To my left,
Morgan Jones.
I wouldn't have started this episode out like this if it wasn't for being online right now with the Portland Morgan after a harrowing experience. We'll get into that. This is episode 167 for those keeping count. We are live and direct. Before we get into hearing this story, we're going to start with our shout outs. We're going to shout out to the United Kingdom and Pakistan for being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Shout out to San Diego and New York for being our top listening cities outside of Portland, Oregon. Shout out to our top listener this week, Lloyd Bum. Maybe it's Boom.
Ooh.
Shout out to our sponsor, Nightmare. Check out the latest and greatest at thixbrand.co.com. Don't let your browser mess it up for you. Follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double those Aunt Andres. How are you?
I'm back. I'm back from the dead.
You are. From the dead. What was it like? John Edwards, I reached out to him. He was like, we don't do that anymore. And I was like, I need to talk to sis to tell us about it.
John Edwards. Yo, so I got COVID. My whole household got COVID. The Rona came.
COVID-22.
I don't know which variant we're in right now.
Me neither. I lost track of Delta.
I'm not sure. I blame Ambush. I also blame because he, you know, he was the one that first tested positive. So I don't know. Do I even get to say any of that? Am I violating HIPAA laws? Anywho, yep. I got people I blame. mostly Ambush. Always Ambush. Blame Ambush all 2020. here's the thing. We're vaccinated. We have been boosted. I think we're due for another booster or whatever at this point.
Oh.
But yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Ambush said that. And I was like, already? So I think that it was because of that much more manageable than it could have been. But it like took us down, and we, you know, have a 15 and a 16-year-old who were, you know, a part of that group of students that the government was like, send them to school. Who cares? You know, like they'll be fine. Kids can't even get it. Or when they do get it, you don't even know. Those poor babies were sick.
Yeah.
Like none of us were sick enough to like go to a doctor, you know, or go to the hospital, which is, again, I think the reason that is true is the
I've been shout out to our Buddha booster,
you know, but it was rough. And there's some stuff that I am already noticing. And I told you this, I'm trying not to be too dramatic. But I am a person who like really tries to pay attention to differences in my body and my mind because I'm terrified of the sort of just living life and like acting, not knowing what's wrong with me. Like I want to know what's different. And I am foggy. I am like every day. There's so many cobwebs just in my brain that I'm concerned for the long haul, because I already have like just a terrible, trash short-term memory. I've definitely have issues with certain, you know, execution of things. Like, I have all of the best intentions, and then the execution might get lost in the sauce, as they say. So I don't really have room in my current life to have more trouble with the executive functions of my life.
And for the listeners, just know we were on the phone earlier, and this is how far reaching this is. She was stuck at a door, unable to open it. I was like, I was in that moment, it made it real for me. So make sure, give your Cash App, because this is probably going to be a long road.
I mean, it's definitely disability worthy. Like, so yes, at Portland Morgan on all digital money situations, run me the bread.
Yes.
I definitely will not be.
And if anyone has a manual on how to open a door, like a poster, please send that.
Make it specific to your own home's front door. Yeah, those are what, like, Dan and I have conversations that are, you know, just a regular conversation. It's not anything deep, right? Like, our just normal conversations are some of the funniest things. And I half the time am like, dang, I wish we were recording right there, because that is. And I hate being that person now that's like, that's content.
Yep, that's content. Like, hey, yeah. Straight up and down.
But like, yo, earlier, I'm struggling with my door. It was not to open it. I just feel like I must clear the record there.
So you forgot what a door was.
It wouldn't close. My door wouldn't close. And can't close. You forgot how to close a door? Oh, this is way worse than I thought. And for whatever reason, like, I died. Doubled over laughing, like, yeah, that's exactly what that sounds like. Also, this is where you go. I'm telling you how I'm worried about my future now, and you're like, oh my god, you forgot how to close a door.
The type of friend you get in me, friend, and in this situation sibling, is I am always gonna find the funny.
It's true.
We are gonna go down laughing. Just know that.
Even in our serious conversations, one of the things both of us do is find a way to like laugh at certain things, and I really appreciate that, because I need the levity. I can handle the, you know, hard conversations or you know, things that are heavy.
Yes,
you just got some levity. Just give me a little. Yeah. Know that we're still here.
That's it. That's all.
There's still hope. We can smile. All those things. I don't know. Anyway, I got COVID. My whole family got COVID. Point of saying any of that is we are still in a panini, whether the CDC or our government or your local, you know, friends or family believe it's true. We are still there. It's just a complete and total inaction at this point from, you know, all of the resources that we're supposed to have. I saw right as we got sick that the CDC was like, hey, y'all don't even need to quarantine. Y'all don't even need to be 6 feet away from each other. Y'all can just, and it was like, oh, okay. So yeah, the school year is about to start and you're just like, have at it.
Full tilt, baby.
Yeah. And so this is my reminder to everybody. You know, I'm not going to soapbox it, but definitely still out there. Definitely still not fun. Definitely being sick for a week can change your entire life, depending on whatever your economic status is. Like I've said this before, I don't have health insurance. So when my mom and dad are like, go to the doctor now, you sound awful. Number one, no, I'm not. Number two, this feels very much like a bad flu. I also feel so exhausted. Like, just yesterday.
Yeah, that was one of the things that you brought up a couple when I was checking in on you, is like the waves of exhaustion and ambush, same thing.
Yo, I sorted the laundry yesterday. Like, that means I stood there and put colors with, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it had had some light bending. There was no real physicality to this, right? I did that. I scooped up the load that I was putting in the laundry. I put it in the laundry. I'm going to take a shower. I felt like I was about to pass out and go to sleep. Like, it was...
Even people, I want you to take a note at this moment. Even in her battle against COVID, she still knew her role as a woman to get that laundry taken care of. This is what I'm talking about. Whew.
You know, there's not many like me left. So
I see. I had to make sure that was highlighted.
Yeah, I
appreciate it's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you. There are some real women left.
I was just about to be like, there's not a lot, but there's some real women left out here. Out here making sure laundry getting done. It was completely and totally, you know, my role and part of my job as the person who runs this household in that way. Mm. And I won't let COVID stop me from making sure
COVID schmovid
socks, you know?
That's what I'm talking about.
You know?
I'm talking about. Take a page out of this book.
Yo, I love the patriarchy. It's one of my favorite things. It's so great.
Yes.
Yes.
I do wish Beyonce would make a song about folding socks. So that
instead of
just saying to fold the socks. In that way, I can get my socks folded.
Thank you for listening to the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. Morgan and Cam show. Nope. I don't know how I resign when it's just the two of us. Like,
nope, that's not it. It's you not clock me. You put in that letter. I just dump it in the trash and we keep going. That's how that works.
So while I was sick, Kenathan, I did watch Untold, the girlfriend that didn't exist. Oh man, I'm in this moment. I knew this was going to happen too. I can't remember.
Is that like unsung?
Not exactly. I mean, kind of, you know, it's a behind the scenes. So okay. Sure. Yeah. No, it's a documentary, supposedly, you know, giving us the behind the scenes on stuff. So Netflix has done a few of these. There's one for Malice in the Palace, which is one of my faves. I feel like I could watch that, just throw that on in the background and have it playing a lot.
Because
I loved that era of basketball. And shout out to Rashid, just always, you know. Anyway.
Yeah.
That
era was kind of sick, though. I just want to say that era had had late teen, early 20-year-old males wearing hoop shorts under jeans, as if any moment
they would break out in a three-on-three
full court run.
Full court too. This is not full about course. Yeah,
nah.
We're not playing. There no kiddie games over here, friends.
That Jordan socks on. In church shoes, just in case. Got to dunk on a man in the name of the Lord.
You know, real fast, on the way. Mm. Or on your way to the buffet afterwards. You know, either way it goes. He was just ready. There's nothing iller than basketball shorts under slacks. Like, that is the whole level.
And it wasn't like they was wearing the thin mesh joints they had on.
No, they were like regulation game
shorts. Like, yes, it's a big band, big band.
These are not mesh. These are the full situation. Like, hot. That's hot is what they call it.
Boy, we had a time back then.
So Untold is I'm here for it. I'm here for this Netflix like short form, meaning it's not like, you know, 7 episodes about one particular thing. There might be one, or usually one, might be two. You might get a two-parter.
Yeah.
This one specifically, I don't pay attention to football because I don't football. But this particular guy was a football player who rose to stardom, okay. went to Notre Dame. And I think he's Pacific Islander. He's from Hawaii. Sorry. There's a lot of different, there's a Samoan person who is involved in this. I'm not going to give all of it away. I will just say that it is an extreme catfishing story. And the reason that it's so extreme is that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now that I'm seeing it.
For everybody who knows.
Bronzy Teo, yes.
Everybody who listens to this show and hears Can go, oh, I never heard of that thing, like, which happens every single episode, do know that I ask him every single time, hey, look at the document before we start. And then he'd be like, yeah, I did that. And then he'd be like, oh, not that link, though.
And no, so now what I'm also, so I want to make sure for the listeners on our document, there is no hyperlink on a specific box. And this box is okay, the,
you know what, you win.
Box that has that. So, I mean, it's cool.
You're right.
What?
Screen.
What
man.
Is going on? Oh, yeah. No. Nah, this is wild. Did y'all hear that? I'm taking that audio clip and sending that to Ambush to see if he has ever heard that.
I'm good for
Can
an
you
apology.
Say that one more time?
What was it that I said? Oops.
See, the
I may have done it wrong.
Did it again.
Which one was
the
it?
The vid did it again.
This is not news you can use, but I do apologize when I get it wrong. And you're right. I don't. That's like maybe the only thing that doesn't have a link, which is great. Yep. I'm really glad that I put myself out there. Make fun of you
know, and but that's
the moment
that's
when I had
you
no
gotta
right.
put yourself out there sometimes, you know, just to, you know, step amongst us mere mortals, because the goddess that you are, it rarely you rarely find yourself in moments with us mere mortals, and so this is a time where we can feel connected.
Just all of that's true.
You know, thank you.
You know, thank you. This is how everybody listening communicate like us.
Yes.
Goals.
Yes.
Right?
G-O-A-L-S. Or
so,
maybe Z.
Manti Teo, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Who was a football star, goes to Notre Dame. He's a Mormon because colonialism is a wild situation. And the Mormons went to Hawaii and were like, let's make sure a whole bunch of you are this. So he's a Mormon. He goes to Notre Dame, which is a Catholic school. And I'm only highlighting that because Notre Dame is such a Catholic school that the culture shock of going from Hawaii to where is Notre Dame? Indiana or something, like Midwest, totally different kind of seasons, you know,
to Notre Dame.
To go to Notre Dame, and not a lot of Pacific Islanders, not going to be a lot of Mormons. Am I right? I thought you were looking up where Notre Dame is.
Nah, I was just the Hunchback's home.
You know, fighting Irish, man. Or something like that. Yeah, they're in Indiana. Look at me. I listened to a documentary and retained something. So I'm not going to give it all away. What I really just want to talk about is catfishing and the psychology of it. So this guy, rising star,
yes,
in a relationship with a you know, has a girlfriend named Lene, and doesn't ever meet her in person.
You know, it happens long distance. LDR.
LDR. Having had a successful LDR that turned into a no longer LDR. let's see. Where were you going to go there? What was about to happen?
just go ahead and move forward. It went from LDR to up in that R-E-A-R.
Okay.
I'm 15 and
no
exit stage left.
Yes, yeah, you gotta go. My word, this is the first hour. We're supposed to be in such a better way than this. Anyway, my man was out here, long distance relationship, never met this person in person, was definitely trying. And if you have ever watched, you know, 2 to 3 episodes of Catfish, you don't have to watch the whole thing. All you need to see is what they're like, excuses for not being able to either meet up or FaceTime or whatever. That's all you need. This person used every single one that you could use, like get on the FaceTime, turn the camera off and be like, I can see you. And he's like, I can't see you. And she's like, I don't know what's wrong.
Oh.
So like, you know how like people now are like, I'm on the Zoom, I'm in the meeting, can you see me? And then they don't have their camera on because they don't want you to see their background or whatever. The early portion of that.
And also, I feel like during this time, because this was from, just for anybody, this is like around 2012-ish. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I feel like this was still on the crust of when you could get away with just certain stuff. It
wasn't widely known.
We be forgetting based on these last 8 years. I'll even say the last 6, right? Where there's no excuse at this point. I don't see how Catfish is still making new episodes at this point.
I'm so confused how that is still a show today. But then... And multiple people in the show say, like, I had never heard of that before. Like, that wasn't and Manti Te'o is like, I didn't know that phrase. I didn't know, like, this was a time that wasn't we didn't know that was a thing.
Love is, which blind, is so real. Like, blind.
People forget how the internet has evolved, you know, and how
we have evolved with it.
So many things have happened. Like, this used to, you know, the internet in its early iteration, don't get me wrong, it's just as almost lawless as it is now.
But
it was basically forums, right? And then you talk to people in private messages if you were talking to people. And you had no idea if you were actually talking to the person you think you're talking to or not. You didn't have a reason to think it wasn't. And so, you know, when this person gets a Facebook request from someone who is, you know, a Pacific Islander woman in that same area, it's kind of like, oh, wow. Like, why would you think it's not, you know? And so anyway, the psychology of catfishing for me is wildly fascinating because I don't understand. Like, I'm too empathetic to the end result. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't understand my life is awful. So I'm going to do this thing that then, you know, makes me feel better, but potentially ruins someone else's life. Like, I just don't understand that thing. Go ahead.
I was going to, and this is just a left thing. Did you also see the most hated man on the internet, Doc?
Indeed. Okay. I didn't know if you had watched that, so I didn't put it on the document.
That's when I had saw.
Listeners, anyway, you let us know, because we were thinking pre-production meeting, maybe we should just be doing reactions and reviews to docs that or documentaries that are old, new, whatever, but new to us.
And in the vein of the type of, you know, things that we talk about, and I think, you know, relating them to the bigger idea and
how those things affect us in real life. Like, catfishing has been something that I think has been commodified to be entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're supposed to be able, we're supposed to be watching these shows and like laugh at the people that are either being catfished or the person doing the catfishing because they're oh so insecure or whatever it is. Like, it isn't, we're not addressing the reason people would do that. We're not addressing the actual effect of somebody thinking that they are in love with someone who doesn't actually exist. Like, there's so much there. And just the same with all of these things that are, you know, out here. So, yeah.
Do you think that there's a personality type that's more prone to being susceptible to catfishing?
To being catfished or?
Yeah, to being catfished.
Maybe. I think there's, I mean, in this one in particular, like, my man definitely has like a sort of savior complex is what I would ascribe to him. And, you know, I'm obviously not a Drewski hands up, don't shoot. I'm not a professional in that regard, but I do. You hear him say, like, I want to help these people. And it makes me feel good to do these things. And it's all very much a martyrdom kind of thing. And so for him, I think he wanted to be, yeah, like, I think that there are people who want to be the hero. And I think that can easily get you to get scammed.
Be the fool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're trusting, right? Like, you're trusting. You don't have any reason to think that this person would be scamming you. And again, time-wise, though, for him, yikes, that wasn't a thing. But yeah, I think that people that are think they're the only ones who can fix it, that might be a personality trait that gets scammed a lot.
Same. Okay.
But this thing is mad interesting. Where it left me, though, and the storytelling that happens in it definitely made me wonder, because they kind of like sprinkle it throughout, like, did Manti have something to do with this? Was he involved in, like, was this not a catfish? Was this an actual thing for him to appear sympathetic, to be able to get all of these, you know, extra eyes on him as a football player? And if that were true, epic backfire. Epic backfire if that were true. And I just don't, they don't answer that in the, you know, many documentaries allow you to come up with your own conclusion. And this is one of those where it does not, you know, draw a hard line for you.
I gotta watch this.
Yeah. So again, I say, I'm not trying to ruin anything for no spoilers or whatever. It's worth the watch. And for me, catfishing stories are just wildly interesting. Like, I think I talked about one on here before where I watched this Vice thing where somebody's, this woman's cousin catfished her for years. And I just can't understand why. You know, like, why would you do that to somebody you know? Why? I don't know why you would do it to someone you don't know, but it definitely seems easier to do it to someone you don't know than someone who's a part of your family, someone who's, or a part of your life in a way that you are talking to this person on a regular basis. Like, if Lily was catfishing me with ambush before we met in person, you know, like,
yeah,
that destroys it all. Like, I don't even know. There's just too much to unpack from something like that. I don't understand the person who is like, I'm just gonna not only waste your time, but in that wasting your time, possibly ruin your life. Like,
yeah,
I need help on that understanding.
I would like to know, I think of that in all the ways in, you know, from people that create fake profiles in general. Yeah. To have the time to create the profile, to go to comments or to do a thing, it just...
I can't remember my own actual passwords.
Yeah.
You want me to be in charge of a sock puppet account or so-and-so just so I can say some wild stuff and still be like, yeah.
That's what I can't. And it's like, there's no amount. I've never felt anger in me on the interwebs that would make me like,
make you go, you know what? I need to say,
I'm going to create a fake account,
but I can't say it under my name. So
yeah,
I'm gonna go ahead and create a fake account and create a fake persona. Like, yeah, so in this thing, it's a whole character, you know? Like, it's not even just like sock puppet account where you say a bunch of wild things and move forward with your day. It's like you're talking to this person, you're changing your voice to be able to do that, you are texting them all day. Like, you're having a full-blown relationship. And with no intention ever of meeting this person, you know? No intention of doing any of the things that you talk about. So, like, that to me, the psychology of that, mad interested. I'm so fat.
I want to go home. I would love to do, I feel like we should spend the time breaking down. I feel like there's enough pods that, you know, they'll watch a series or something. You know, there's movie review pods, but to take this stuff and break it down in that way, I think that's the thing. I'm probably going to cut this out so you guys don't steal our ideas. Actually, nah, it ain't even that.
You'll never be able to guess.
She double entendres, baby. Dang. So, what's going on in the manosphere?
Bruv. Okay, do you know who Andrew Tate is?
Yes. Not to be confused with Taint.
Thank you for listening to the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. Bye. So, Andrew Tate is a part of the manosphere. He is a guy who is currently profiting off of telling men, you know, be an alpha male, don't be a beta, also be a hustler. So there's a lot of money in the red and black pilling of young, impressionable men, boys, men. There's a lot of money to be made. And this is just the latest person making a bunch of money off of saying things like, you know, women are property. Women shouldn't be able to drive. Women are just supposed to be in the kitchen. They're good for a couple of things. And I can tell you that most of them aren't like living. It's like, you know, objects. Or, you know, definitely the person who makes sure that your socks are clean and your so-and-so is ready, because life would not be life for a man if he had to do any of those things by himself. You know, and what man should be subjected to that kind of illegitimate life, you know? Like,
I think about that weekly as I'm folding and putting away my laundry. And I, Lord, you gave it all for me.
And I'm here folding laundry right now.
Laundry?
Lord, they down here making us pay for things. You already paid for it all.
Unhand me from these shadows.
The manosphere is a wild place to me because it is, I think, and I've made this case on this show, that patriarchy is in a patriarchal, and I have a hard time with that word, culture that we live in, I think is just as harmful to men as it is to women and non-binary folk. And, you know, like, it is harmful, period, to humans. So if the culture that we live in is harmful to us, and the education of learning why it's harmful, how it's harmful, what the results are, and then not necessarily, I don't know, how to not be that person, right? Like, what we really want to do is, like, raise people that are not living through trauma so much that they need to exercise that trauma onto other people. Mm-hmm. Saying something like that is somehow controversial and gets called indoctrination. And telling young boys that women are supposed to be subservient and are only created to be basically, you know, your assistant, like your property that you own, and also does everything you say and all of that stuff. Like, how is that not setting all of us up for failure?
Yeah.
Because it's unrealistic. It is some old white man's fever dream, like from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Thousands, likely. Mm. Whatever. Existence of time.
Fever dream is hilarious, though.
No, but it is. Phrase. Like, it's legit. Yeah. Like, what would be the best thing in the world while you don't have your brain? That's when they come up with these things. And then hand down these, you know, notes mm-hmm. of this is what femininity is, this is what masculinity is. And so Andrew Tate, sorry, I got a little strayed there from the point, but Andrew Tate is currently a prominent figure in the manosphere. He is a
EGOT carrying. You don't have an EGOT?
You don't have an EGOT. He was previously a UFC fighter. He was on Big Brother.
That's where I remember him from.
Okay. He was
not kicked, that I watch it, just hearing him.
Yeah. Him. Yeah. He was kicked off of Big Brother because a video surfaced of some what appeared to be domestic violence, mm-hmm. where he was beating a woman with a belt. And he and supposedly the woman from the video, I haven't seen this video, I don't care, mm-hmm. was like, nope. Totally consensual, not a thing, like, blah, blah, blah. But he was still kicked off of that show. He was then, I think, banned from Twitter years ago for saying something to the effect of, you know, women have a role in being sexually assaulted. And we just need women to really own up to their end, their role that they play. In being what? Sexually assaulted. So he was banned from Twitter back then. I think it was today that he was banned from Facebook and Instagram. And of course, you know, the people that believe in it, the people that, you know, have been red-pilled or black-pilled. I think you got to be red-pilled in order to be black-pilled, but I'm not sure if that's true. But these folks who are on the misogyny train, who are just like, you know, the government should be, it's all very incelish behavior, but the people that believe in this are distraught, right? They are, yeah. This is cancel culture at its finest. This is, what about First Amendment and free speech and blah, 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 blah. I don't know how that in 2022, Canathan, that we are still having conversations about the difference between, like, what does free speech mean? Like, I can't believe that in 2022, there are people that are like, my free speech is being infringed upon by a private company. Like, they just don't understand the workings of any of you know, constitutionality, yeah. What this country has decided that, you know, they're going to be hands up, don't shoot on you can say whatever you want. And then there will be consequences for your actions. Right. But a private company can say, you cannot say those things on my, like, that's a doing. We did that.
Yeah.
People decided that is what I mean. And so when they're like, it's my free speech. The fact that they don't know the difference makes me, like, it infuriates me, number one. And it makes me understand that you are an unserious person.
You unserious human.
Yo, because you're giving me all these hot takes, right? You're giving me all this energy. It's just like, it's so much, and you're so misinformed that it's like, you're unserious. Why would I even continue? Why would I continue? So for someone like Andrew Tate, who is pervasive, who is like, has this MLM scam of Hustlers University or whatever it's called, where, you know, we're just continuously instilling the grind culture and the, men, your only worth is to make money. And if you're not making the most money that you could be making in a day, then are you even a man? And do you even deserve to have a woman be your slave? Like, you know, like, do you, who is this helpful for? And dudes are eating it up. And Ken, we have talked about this multiple times on this show. I am a person who's like, yeah, kick them off your platform. Make them so that they can't say nothing. I'm completely fine with that. This is no slippery slope situation for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not worried about, you know, the slope that creates. I'm just not. But they get to use this as martyrdom, and they capitalize and make so much money and make so, you know, get so many more people on board with their ideas in the moments of their deplatforming. And I don't even think it's fair to call it that, but like you getting kicked off social media, mainstream social media, as they're now saying, like there's a difference between, you know, Twitter and Gab or whatever in the way that one's mainstream and one's not.
One's underground.
Right. Like you're being forced into the shadows of the internet. No, like, please reel it in. Relax. I don't know what to tell them to do. Like, pause.
What I will say is that if nothing else, we've learned between the years of 2016 and 2020 that what we thought was just a small portion of the population thinking is actually a lot of the population's thinking. And so when you have people like this, especially thinking in terms of content, right? Social media content, where you take a clip of something and you can probably pull from any interview. There's a Charles Manson interview that I'm sure I could pull a clip from and throw it out and it'd be like, oh yeah, no, I feel that. That little capture gets you like, oh, now say I see five of those, like, oh yeah, I'm rocking what he's talking about, because most content that we're taking in is the small chunks and not so much the extendeds, right? So you have a bunch of people that are on board based on those clips. Yep. I think that fall in line or reshare. And now you take that and also jump into the way that we've got to see, I'd say, you know, over the last 3 years, specifically, where people's whole personality is based around getting eyes on them. And the idea of having shame or coof about yourself is not there. It's right. All about getting people to, so it's saying and doing the most wild stuff to keep that attention. And I do believe that this guy is like that guy. That he puts out there, but now you're getting, it's almost like the, you know, the guy in class telling the jokes, the teacher's getting upset, and it's like fueling the jokes to keep coming. He's going to keep going. Now it's like, now this is a challenge of, oh, and it's adding to it. And that's the same thing that for these people. Oh, I'm getting people riled up. Cool. Let me kick this up some more. Because for them, this moment of being able to pull back from the interwebs and just go about life. And of course, there are some ramifications that play out in real life. But I think not as much as we want to think. The internet is, yes, there's you can cut it off. Like you think about most celebrities and people of high profile. And when they talk about the interwebs, they say, I don't read nothing that has to do with my name.
Yo.
It's that simple. So you're not paying attention.
For them.
Yeah. So you're not paying attention. So it's y'all, we are the ones with all the fillings and so on, putting it out there and keeping that snowball building. And then usually what happens in the space of this, where somebody's kicked off or banned from these places, wherever they decide to be, wherever they land, that's where people are going to go towards. And then that turns into brand deals that are not brand, but, you know, being
no, but yes, what, but like literally a platform for them.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And opportunity, and that, more opportunity.
It, yes, yes. And I mean, again, we see it on down to the wildness of like Kyle Rittenhouse getting photo ops with police after being pulled over and like, hey, let me get
make sure you make those stops because you might run into your fave. Bro.
So, yes. So you have this going on, and you know, we see people like this that throw out, and I think it goes to what we talked about before about people throwing out certain ideals, like as a man living life and I feel like, you know, a fairly, I've definitely have trash characteristics and have done trash things as a male.
Of course.
With that, don't, of course, so aggressive.
What I meant is as a person.
No, I'm just, but
not as you as the man can. I mean, as a person, we've all done trash things.
Yeah. I know you've done like hundreds. I've probably done several.
Okay. I don't know why we needed to.
Yeah.
That's a weird route you just took there. I feel
just
like sometimes you
highlight.
Forget that we're on the same team.
We are.
Like it's us, you know? And then
double entendre dress. No, because this is what I'm saying. Because I said several could mean 1, 2, 3, or it could mean 5,000. So
it could.
Yeah,
I think that the implication there was that mine is more, because hundreds versus several.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, moving right along.
Very correct.
Right back to your point of where you were going.
I actually lost my point of where I was going. So,
well, I will just interject then and say the manosphere is reeling right now. And I have trouble because there are people that are like, if you talk about like an Andrew Tate, aren't you then platforming that person and making it so that other people who would have never known, right?
Yeah.
Who that person is. Now they know. Now they're aware. But that is my whole point. I feel like awareness is what we all need. If we have the information, then you can, you know how to move forward. A lot of the manosphere, a lot of that indoctrination that's happens in a way that's a little sneaky, right? Like they come through the back door. They're not just right up in your face like, well, you know, hate women. Like, that's not how that goes. And go ahead.
I found my thought.
Okay.
It was the way in which, again, going back to that point of there being these small chunks of pieces that you grab and latch onto, and saying that as a man being brought up in this thing, there is a lot of stuff that's put on that our value is based on providing, right? Yep. Going to the idea that we have to be able to provide, we're worthless essentially if we're not. And that's reinforced by in relationships, that's reinforced in just our day to day of how this shows up. And that, so you get these people who are like, I can identify. And the dangerous part in somebody like him is you're riding on the value system. Because that's a as a man, yes, I agree. Grind, do the thing. This is my life, right? So, yeah, I agree. You're talking that stuff right now.
Right. I'm a provider.
That. And so, but there's a whole other part of that. And the thing that gets dangerous with that is that you're like, yeah, I rock with that. But then there's this whole piece that's like, that's the danger. And that's standing on the corner with the member. They're not trying to figure out which one's a member and which one's not. They're shooting towards both.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sorry for the listeners who are not a gang member. I guess I should have threw that in there. So, but it's not, you might rock with him because he's a funny guy. Right.
It has nothing to do. You don't even know necessarily. You don't know what that life means.
Right. So that other part you're not subscribing to, but that part of, so that's where that gets dangerous. And I think that's a lot of the people who ride this thing or find out. I think the people who are smart enough to realize the influence that they do have, they play to one side of it more than the other, typically, at least in the beginning. Right. And so you get people already there. And there's a lot of people who, once they write, I mean, we think of this, I'll break this down into like a relationship. A lot of times, you know, like hellfire relationships, there's this piece that somebody's holding on or that they're holding on to. It's they hate all these parts, but there's this piece that it's like, yeah, and I'm trying to keep with that. And it usually fizzes.
Cause you can't.
Yeah. Right. And it goes bad. And so in these situations, it's like people that come in and basically fall in love and then like quote air quotes and, but fall in love with this idea of this sentiment or whatever, this specific stance. And then once you're in it, you're kind of, you feel like you're in it. And I feel like that's the same thing in the space of what we saw with Trump, where people maybe were even thinking like, I've already rode this long, like he's wilding, but I've already kind of,
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
What's the option? What's the other option? Right.
So yeah, you're almost having, or be not forced to subscribe, because you always have the option.
I mean, yeah, but, you're not forced, but what are your other options? If you have come to believe that what this person is saying is true, and you identify with some of it, you may not, you know, it never has to be all for it to be.
Watch a cult documentary. Most times there's a person that's like, yeah, I was rocked. And then it was like, you want to do my wife, but I can't do her. What are we talking about?
This and then they're weird. Like, okay.
Yeah. Said, and to keep going along with it.
Right.
So like,
there's all sorts of cognitive dissonance that has to happen in order for you to believe these kind of things, right? Like one of the things that a tweet that I saw was a teacher who was like, hey, parents, please pay attention to what your kids are consuming on the internet, because this Andrew Tate dude is changing our children. And goes on to say how, you know, a bunch of the boys in her class were basically like, yeah, women are just supposed to be cooking and cleaning and having babies. I'm not really sure why you're trying to give me a lesson from a woman author, because she's not supposed to be even writing books. And okay, so that's how you feel, right? And as a woman teacher, to say to them, well, I'm a woman and I'm your teacher, it's like, that's where that kicks in, that cognitive dissonance of just being like, oh, well, yeah, but teaching is a woman's job.
Which, you know, can I give a controversial take?
Give it to me.
Don't think that this is a woman's job. I do personally think from preschool or daycare through the first couple of years, women are better equipped. I feel that their ability and how they interact with children, the tone, all of those things, I feel like that's something, not to say, of course, there are men out here and that can, but my feelings as Ken Jones, I do feel like those first few years specifically, women are way better equipped to deal with.
Interesting.
Yeah. I could expand on that in another whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, we can do that another time. You have me thinking, I guess is what I mean to say.
Yeah.
You got my brain thinking.
Yeah.
I don't think it's dangerous to tell people who a person is, who is doing things, right? I think that that is an important thing to do if there is one person that listens to you.
Okay.
And I think it's important for you to say, here are the things that I think are harmful, or
crack is whack.
Crack is whack. Mm-hmm. We're going to say it again. You know, like a person like Andrew Tate, who is able, this is mostly, I don't know if he believes the things he believes or not. And I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to be in a relationship with Andrew Tate. Right? Like, that's not going to be a thing. But this is a person who is currently being investigated for human trafficking and rape charges, who is also telling you that women are basically your property if you make her yours, which is a whole nother, like, what does it mean?
Right.
And not just that, like, we are in a culture where that is, you know, easily to subscribe to.
Yes.
And especially there's so many different entry points for the manosphere. It's the divorced dad. It's the incel. It's the having down on your luck, like somebody broke your heart. Like it really is just like, it doesn't take that much. Yeah. And that has a lot to do with, and this isn't me like being like, where are the parents? But where are the parents? Because number one, somebody has to be like giving context to this stuff. And I'm not saying that people can't like explore on the internet.
That's dope. That is dope. I'm glad you said that. That's key right there. Give context.
Like we are in a world we're in a country where we have falsified objectivity. So it's like, I'm a news outlet. I have no opinions about this. I'm just giving you the information, right? Mm-hmm. Except for just the information without the context is not information. I'm not more informed. I just read some words. Like, I need to know what it means in the larger scale, right? Like, what does any of what you just told me mean? And if we, you know, also in a country where we prioritize not talking about the things that affect our lives, how much money we make, what does racism look like to you? How many things have you been affected by all of those isms in your life? Intersectionality is becoming like a word that you're not even supposed to say. Like,
Who's pricing oxtails?
Who is pricing oxtails?
There needs to be some transparency there.
You know what? Thank you for bringing it back to the only thing I care about.
Man.
Now how are we supposed to live a life
with oxtails costing more than premium steak cuts?
Fam, that's a tail. I just need
understand it's a tail. I feel like there's not a shortage on oxtails, which are not from ox, cowtails, for those that may not know. And we're about to close out, but also these are coming from cows. This is a cow
that oxen.
Tail. No oxen were harmed in the making of oxtails.
The oxen are still busy pulling the Oregon Trail trailer canopy situation. They're still working, guys.
The wagons.
The wagon. Thank you. Damn. I was like, what is that word?
Trailer canopy. I love, because that's how my brain works. It's like, I'll give you the description. I cannot think of the name. I think we did it. We did it right. We closed this out on oxtails. We brought it back. That's what we do. But I do just want to say again, before we get up out of here, highlight that point that Morg made. Context is everything. Explain the context. We are right now just a culture in general of bite-sized bits of information without the context. And we're able to take that bite-sized piece of information and apply it how we want to and not how it's meant or how it was intended to be applied. So take the time to do that. While you're taking that time, also take time to do a thing like follow us on the Instagrams at Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us.
It's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Yeah, baby. It's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Y'all know what time. Come on, man. Get your bags, man. Call that bell. I'm walking on the cock. It's chicken.